totally changing the story. There's a story given, and it's given clearly in the New, in the Old Testament. It's continued through the New Testament. It's testified in the Word of God that that's what the story is. Not an allegory. Trees give knowledge because God's Word says the trees give knowledge. Trees kill because God's Word says they kill. The Word of God makes it all happen. If you don't understand, let that go for now. Why did he slay his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. He hated him because because God accepted him and he didn't accept me. That's, you know, they put Jesus to death. They said, because you said you are the Son of God. But, you know, if he'd said that, I don't think they would have put him to death. It was the fact that he said it and it was believable. You know, because of all the works God testified with, you know, the miracles. For a miracle we slay you not, you know. For the good works we slay you not, but for blasphemy. Now there were many blasphemers in Jesus' day. Many blasphemers, I have no doubt. The Jews didn't have the authority to kill people, in general speaking. That's why they had to go to Pilate. And that's why he was sort of like, I don't want to, these are matters of your law, you go see to him. And they said, no, he's worthy of death, and we need you. Because it was this. It was because their works were evil and his were righteous. There were other blasphemers who didn't get crucified. False messiahs, no doubt. People who wanted to lead after disciples after themselves. You know, they existed. But only Jesus wound up the way he did. For the things he did. And he did it. He was crucified for righteousness. Because saying the Son of God, he was right. It was true. But that wasn't just, that wasn't why they crucified him. They crucified him because he said he was the Son of God. And it was believable. Because of the works that he did. You know, someone does miracles and then they say they're the Son of God. It's sort of like, hey, his works are righteous. And ours are evil. He's not accepting our persons. And God then hides the wisdom from them that would say, quoting from 1 Corinthians 1, when I say that he hides the wisdom from them. Because it says, if God had not hid the wisdom from them, they wouldn't have crucified him. But he hides the wisdom from them, so they don't say to themselves, you know, we probably should just let this go and not crucify him and bring righteous blood on our hands. If he's a blasphemer, God will deal with him. But that wisdom was not available because God hid it. God would not let them see the wisdom of just as Gamaliel saw the wisdom with Paul. Was it Paul or Peter and John? When he stood up in the council in the book of Acts and he says, look at it. You know, there was a guy who had disciples and blah, 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 blah. You know, but nothing came of it, and if this is nothing, then it'll just pass away like they did. But look, if we gonna, you know, but if we persecute them, one, it's probably not necessary, but two, it's like we might find ourselves fighting against even God. And that wisdom was hidden. And it was funny because they had the wisdom. You look in the case of Paul and John. They could have decided, we're going to put these guys to death too and nip this in the bud. But they let them go. Because God unveiled that wisdom to them by the mouth of Gamaliel. So he hid it, and then he let it out. All for the benefit of the gospel. So he says, you know, don't marvel if the world hates you. A lot of this reminds me of John 15. You know, Jesus was saying, the world's going to hate you. It hated me before it hated you. No, marvel not if the world hates you. If you do right, and God testifies to it, they're going to hate you. I don't know that I've been particularly hated by the world. I'm going to try my best to fulfill righteousness, to speak righteousness, and do it. And we'll see what happens. I'm not going to try my best. I have faith that God is going to do it. That's what I want to say. He will make it happen. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. You know why? Add your faith, virtue. You know, because Peter had said, you know, I talked about that adding, but in his epistle he said, after he said, when you do all that, he said, if these things abide in you, what? Faith, virtue, knowledge. Notice knowledge is part of it. Knowledge, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We don't want to be barren in that. He says, if you do these things, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence. He was saying give diligence to do those things. To do faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, kindness, and love. At the peak of the pyramid, so to speak. And because he says, if you lack these things, you're blind, you forgot, you were purged from your old sins. He says, rather give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. If we have love, it means we're doing all those other things too. And we will never fall. That's why he says, we know. When you get to that, where you have that perfect love that God only can give, then you know you've passed from death into life. Because he that sins is dead while he lives. If you sin, you abide in death. I think that's the next thing he says, actually. Because we love the brethren, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Love, like, he takes the high, you know, and what I want to say is it seems like the simplest thing, love. But it's the highest order of righteousness. And so all the righteousness is built on it. You can't have love and not have temperance. It's impossible. Like, I'm intemperate and I got, you know, because you can't love your brother if you're intemperate in all these other things. Temperance, it all goes together and meshes together in a perfect likeness of Christ. So, when we don't love our brother, we abide in death. And so, if we've lacking in those other things, we're also abiding in death. Because the lack of those things, it's like taking the legs out from under your table. He uses the highest order, love, and the highest standard, love. You know, which is the perfection of all those things. To exemplify the high standard which is in Christ. And that's the whole point of what he's writing. That we do not sin.